Hey, everybody. Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast. Thank you for tuning in to another episode of the show. Today's feature is returning guest and my buddy, Jeff Lee. Jeff has appeared on the show with his band, The Poor, but now he's got a brand new solo project he's working on called Fire the Humans. And he's stopped by to share his debut single, Vanished, which you can get now available wherever you're getting your music at. And so add that to your playlist and give it a couple spins. And let Jeff know what you think of it, because it's a fun song. It's you're going to hear it on the show, and you're going to hear stories behind it and everything else and how this project came to be. So hope you enjoy this one. Do want to remind you, as always, Rock Paper Podcast is brought to you by Roughneck Beard Company and American Rambler, located right here in St. Louis, Missouri, over in the Maplewood area off of Manchester. Swing by the shop and pay them a visit and pick up all your favorite all-natural beard oils, beard balms, your junk powder, or one of my personal favorites, their Roughneck Beard Batter. Roughneck Beard Batter is the ultimate beard and skin moisturizer. It's a blend of 8 nutrient-rich soft oils whipped directly into unrefined shea butter for a moisturizing kick like no other. The highest amount of triglycerides and fatty acids available in the beard care market, hands down. World-renowned, but made right here in St. Louis. Again, you can visit them at the shop or shop 24/7 at roughneckbeardcompany.com. Use my code RPP15 for an exclusive 15% off your purchase. And even if you don't have a beard, American Rambler's got you taken care of. You can visit them for all your grooming needs, all sorts of wonderful all-natural products. So check it all out. Again, roughneckbeardcompany.com. Also, big shout out to my friends at High L Sound for their continued support and help me make this show sound great. Visit highlsound.com today and pick up a brand new microphone. I've been recording these intros and the show with my PR40, and I love this microphone. So if you want to help take your sound to the next level, pick up one of these. If you need me, of course, you can always find me at rockpaperpodcast.com. Hit me up on my email at rockpaperpodcast@gmail. Would love to hear from you guys and let me know what you think of today's episode and what you think of this new Fire the Humans music. And if you want to help support the show, a great way to do so is head on over to buyjack.com/rockpaperpodcast and pick up a new t-shirt over there. We got some of the logo ones, and we also have, of course, the little Shaney t-shirts that always make me laugh when I see those out. So silly. But it's a great way to help support the show and keeping it going. So thank you to anybody that's already bought one of those. It means so much to me. So I appreciate you and all your continued support. With that out of the way, sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode with my buddy, Jeff Lee of Fire the Humans.
Podcast is kind of like it's like a radio show that's not on the radio. It's on the internet. Does that make sense?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That's also like my mom. It makes it sound more confusing, doesn't it? It sounds like this.
This is Jeff from Fire the Humans, and you're listening to Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Scissors beat paper, paper covers rock. Rock beats scissors, Shane covers nonstop. Never know what new kind of guests that he's got coming at you. Live and direct on the spot. Could be rock, folk, country, or hip hop, jazz. All kind of folks that he has. Could be an artist or a comedian to make you laugh on the
Rock Paper Podcast.
Double decker fudge round rolling round town. Shane coming at you live and direct from ground zero. He's your hero, he's your bestie. Rock Paper Podcast with Shane Presley.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Hey everybody, Shane Presley here, Rock Paper Podcast, coming to you from St. Louis, Missouri. Hanging out today with Jeff Lee of Fire the Humans.
What's going on?
Welcome back to the show, my friend.
Hey.
This is cool, man. I took a little drive out to beautiful Belleville, Illinois.
Yeah.
Hanging out in your bar, man. This is a nice space, man. Thank you for having me out here.
Thanks for coming. Yeah, man, this is my little sanctuary. We have live shows play out here, and you know, it's kind of nice.
Yeah, for sure. But this is what's cool, man. Like, I've been doing this show for a long time now, and we've become buddies essentially through the show. I think the first time we met was on the show.
Yep.
And then we've obviously done shows together, all kinds of different things, and you know, get to see you and the band play out a bunch of times, and never really got to like deep dive into a conversation, and which we've already been probably talking about an hour and a half before clicking record.
Exactly.
Like just catching up and getting to know a little bit more about each other, and that's the fun of this podcast, is having these conversations, because a lot of times I see you is at a venue or right. whatever, and you're getting psyched up for the show and all this stuff, and
right.
it's kind of hard to have like, you know, a deep conversation, so which is why I love doing this. So anyway,
do you remember the time that I had the entire Del Mar Hall sing you happy birthday?
Oh yeah, man, that was like so cool.
That was awesome.
Yeah, that was
you look shocked when you're standing yeah. there. You look absolutely shocked. We were like, hey, this is Shane from Rock Paper Podcast, it's his birthday.
I think it might have been those pants you were wearing, but I mean, might have been part of it, but
yeah you were in shock that I fit in those pants.
Man, we've definitely had some good times for sure. And like, but yeah, just thinking about live music and being in Del Mar Hall, like, can't wait, man. Can't wait to be back in there, because it's been too damn long.
I agree. So. And the scene loves what you do, man. I mean, obviously, Rock Paper Podcast, you have such an incredible reputation. Everybody loves that you support what we do, because there's not a lot of platforms that genuinely have fans that support art and the art of music. And, you know, it means a lot to a lot of people, man. It's incredible what you do.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I appreciate that. And it feels good. You know, it feels good to hear that stuff. And, like, and of course, I think about, like, it actually just popped up in my memories on Facebook today. I think it was, like, 4 years ago now. But from when Jen Nichols tattooed my logo on her arm for her. And I'm like, blew my mind to think about that. This show means something to somebody enough to put it on their skin like that. Like, and so stuff like that is very humbling and feels good.
I agree.
So
I agree. There was one of the early bands that I was in that found a little bit of success in the St. Louis area was a band called Crush Blue Velvet. And we were at an after party one night, speaking of tattoos, and one of the girls that loved our band showed up and had CBV for Crush Blue Velvet tattooed on her lower back. And we were just dumbfounded by that. You know, we were like, why would you do that? You know, but at the same time, we were like, she loved our music so much and what we did and brought to the table, that, you know, it was just such a huge compliment that we were just too young and stupid to realize what a compliment that was.
Yeah, man. Yeah. It's a very cool thing. But you bringing it up, that's kind of what I wanted to kind of get into, like, cause I've heard this name. I've heard a little bit of the story that your previous band, like I said, we met, with the Poor, and talking about when that band kind of really got picking up steam and things. but I didn't really, so we were making a kind of a joke about it, but like literally everybody's like, who the hell's this guy? Where does Jeff come from? Like, and I knew the rest of the guys for several years, and like, but I didn't know you. And then I first started you singing, and I was like, holy shit, how have I not known of Jeff? And so But I heard the name Crush Blue Velvet before, like I said, after the conversation started. So, but take me back to some of that. Like, I'd like to actually kind of, like, if you want to go into it, like, we're growing up and stuff. Are we always from Belleville area?
Sure. Here? Yeah. So I've always been raised in the Illinois area.
Yeah.
My parents were both musicians. They used to play music all over. So I used to study them play music as kids would study homework. And I would sit on the stairs and listen to my mom sing or my dad play guitar. And I would, you know, pound on my legs as the drummer. And I was given a pair of drumsticks, and then I would beat on my legs so much that I would have bruises on my legs. And then I went from beating on my legs with drumsticks to boxes, and just grew up loving music and being around music my whole life. So, yeah, I mean, born and raised around here. I'm kind of tucked away and hidden. You know, nobody, you know, I've always kind of kept myself in private and quiet. Out in public, I'm social anxiety, as probably most artists do, or most, you know, people that play music. You know, I put on a show when I play, but after the shows, I disappear or hide or.
You're not alone in that. I mean, there's several.
Right.
It's been, a bunch of people like that. But that's what's like. It just blows my mind. It's the way you control a stage and everything else. It's weird to think that you can't. You don't go through life like that kind of thing. You know, it's like there's all sorts of them that just come alive once they step on that stage. Like this go time, something clicks, and it's like. Now it's time to put on the show. But you talk to them afterwards, even like trying to do the show, interviewing some people and stuff. And like some people just are even harder to have a conversation with because they're just so insecure or whatever whatever's going on in their mind. But they're incredible performers or songwriters or guitar players, whatever they're doing. Right. So I don't know. I just always found that interesting too, that.
It's a great point, and I do agree. I think I know quite a few musicians that I think it would almost be like your comedian friends huddle with comedians and your musician friends huddle with musicians, because we all have this bizarre way that we're wired.
Yeah.
And, you know, to that point, starting off playing drums, that's kind of the reason why I did so much as a front man, is because I grew up playing drums with bands like Redheaded Stepchild, and then I filled in doing some drum stuff for, you know, Well Hungarians and Cheese and stuff like that when those guys. So I used to, my band practice was, I don't know if you know John Holzem from the Well Hungarians, but he used to own a music shop in Cahokia, Illinois. And when I was 15 years old, maybe 14, 15 years old, some guys that John knew asked me to play drums, and they were like 20, 21. So here I was 14, 15 years old, and I'm hanging out with 21-year-old guys playing drums in clubs and bars and playing sold out pop shows at 15, 16 years old. And it was a lot of fun playing drums, and I was wild and crazy and young and stupid, and I'd get naked on stage and hang from rafters and
right.
You know, I was a mess, right? I was crazy.
Yeah.
But then I realized, like, I like a good front man. I liked a show. I wanted to see somebody get out and just command it. Look at me. If you're, you know, we did so many things in bars and clubs that it bothered me if we lost someone's attention. If somebody went to the bar or the bathroom, I felt like I failed. I felt like you paid money to come see me. You're going to pay attention. And if you don't pay attention, that's my fault. So I started, you know, doing some vocal stuff, background vocal stuff. Then I went out front for a song, went back and played the drums.
You ever try to do that, like Levon Helm or Phil Collins or something, kind of the singing and drumming?
Background vocals.
Yeah.
When I was, you know, in my teenage years, but yeah, I mean, all my buddies, we all learned to play our instruments together. And, you know, all of my friends are talented musicians, incredible musicians. And that's, we all just kind of learned our craft together.
Yeah. So, so you started with those guys, and then Crush Blue Velvet kind of, where's that kind of come to the picture?
Yeah.
Then?
So Crush Blue Velvet kind of came about. Let me back up. Puzzle Box was a band that I played in before Crush Blue Velvet. Okay. And that's where my buddy Mike Tomasevich, my buddy Andy Fan, and then Chad Leroy from Cavo. We all started this band called Puzzle Box, and we were kids. So we all grew up together, played music together. When Puzzle Box dismantled, Chad went on to start a band called Hollow, which is now Cavo. And I started Crush Blue Velvet with my buddy Mike, my buddy Jay, my buddy Eric, and it was on. I wanted to be the front man of the band, and we just started going for it. And it was like, let's go. If we're gonna do this, let's just mow people down. We wanted funky, sexy rock, you know. So all of a sudden, we get a shot because of our reputation for playing what we did and how hard we played. Not hard, but how aggressive we were, that Planet Hollywood asked us to play at their venue. So we played at Planet Hollywood as Crushed Blue Velvet. And, you know, the management team was like, oh my God, who are you guys?
Right.
And, it was a, you know, a stoke to our ego. We felt invincible at 21 years old and said, man, we're playing Planet Hollywood. It's going to go crazy now. They wanted us to play the Rams after parties. So, you know, at 21, 22 years old, you know, the Rams cheerleaders coming up and asking to buy your pants and and stuff, and, you know, meeting the football players and stuff. It was a lot of fun back when Planet Hollywood was there. And we really did such a, you know, a piss poor job of managing that, because we just had the, you know, it in the palm of our hand, and, you know, drinking and fun and stuff. And they wanted to put us on a tour to go through, do all of the Hollywood, Planet Hollywoods all over the U.S. Hmm. And right when they sent us the contracts, Planet Hollywood went bankrupt. So we were like, uh-oh, now what? And we just kind of fizzled.
Yeah. So you think that was probably the height, though, that Planet Hollywood stuff?
Yeah, Planet Hollywood, Mississippi Nights. Right.
I wish I would, like, I knew of it, and I was old enough to probably attend and everything, but I never went to a Mississippi Nights show, and I never had that, like, I feel like I was kind of a late bloomer into music, really. Like, I listened to, you know, things in my house or whatever, but as far as, like, going to a live show, I didn't have, like, an older brother or has some older cousins and things, but nobody was, like, being that influence, like, hey, come out to this show or whatever it is. And so I kind of wish I had that. I think, like, I did go to, like, 97, I asked my mom to take me to see, like, my first concert that I picked out, and it was Matchbox 20 and
sure.
Soul Asylum and Semisonic at their Savas or whatever, or Scott Trade and whatever it is now.
Yeah.
Or Enterprise, I guess now.
And they were huge.
Yeah. Oh yeah. That was, I mean, 97, that was it. Yeah. But yeah, like, so I wish I would have, like, kept that going, been more involved and, like, been going to those, because I hear so many great stories about nights at Mississippi Nights there and stuff.
Mississippi Nights was it. I mean, it was, it's where I used to go see The Urge. It's where, Zach Wild. So to be able to play Mississippi Nights was such an honor. Like, young, stupid idiots like us, for us to get to walk on that stage, I've got a picture on my phone, I'll text it to you, of us backstage one night before we played Mississippi Nights. And it's like, you know, we loved it. We were, but you're young and dumb and don't know what to do with it. You know, you didn't know how to mold it. And my buddy Chad, when he went to Star Hollow, which is now Cavo now, they really figured out the formula, you know, and they wrote good songs, not great songs. And they worked on that and crafted that. And I would watch them from a distance and go, they're just getting better and better and bigger and bigger. And then when they get Casey involved, and obviously if you know Casey and Chris, and these guys are just, they're just powerhouse writers, man. And then Brian of Cabo is one of my favorite songwriters. So I was standing back watching my band fizzle because we were a mess, but watching them take off and grow. And it was, you know, that's when I just kind of faded back and just kind of, you know, started from scratch.
So how long of a hiatus, I guess, or break was it from Crushed Blue Velvet to Pour? Was that your next introduction into?
Yes. I mean, I did some writing. I was going to do a solo project years ago, and I just never did. I just, you know, family and wife and kids, and you just kind of, you know, I'm very into my family and put a lot of my attention into it. I'm very dedicated with stuff like that. So it was not, I wanted to get it to a place where they were comfortable with me doing that, right? So that's when Chad was in Cavo, and then Chad called my buddy Mike, and Mike calls me and says, hey, look, Chad's coming in town. He doesn't know what his position is going to be going forward with Cavo. Let's all meet at Blueberry Hill and let's talk. We sat down and he said, I want to start something and let's go after it like we did when we were 21.
Yeah. Yeah. I remember, like him being that introduced to, the poor at the time. It was definitely kind of like this, essentially a super group of guys from around St. Louis. So it was really a lot of fun. And of course you guys made some great music together, and In the Midst of Lions is available in the album. 17 release, I think.
Yeah. 2017.
So really an amazing record. And it was, I don't know. So that was cool. Like for me to like deep dive through that album.
Sure.
And kind of learn you as a vocalist and these guys as a band and your songwriting and stuff too. Like, which there's some really good stuff on there, man. I'm really,
thank you.
Yeah. So it's a great record.
It was a fun record to write. Again, like what I loved about The Poor, as The Poor evolved with Chad and Brian, myself, and then, John Donosky at the time, there was just zero ego, you know. It was like, let's write good songs. Let's just bring it, right? I mean, let's bring a badass song to the table. And we ended up writing like 20 songs and picked five and started recording an EP. And we were like, this is great. You know, and I'm very private and I keep to myself and no social media and stuff like that. Partly because I don't want the distraction, right? Nobody gives a crap about me. It's not about me. It's about like, you know, I loved it that those guys were heavy hitters. I loved it that they had enough respect for me to front the band without me trying to make it about me, if that makes sense. I always tried to shine the light on them, you know, and it's not about me. It's about the songs. Mm-hmm. So people would be like, man, you guys are a super group and, you know, Jack's a badass and, you know, John's a badass or Brian's a badass. Chad's a badass. Steve's a badass. Addison's a badass. Matt Benny's a badass. Like anybody that's come in and out of The Poor, they're badasses, man.
All right. For sure.
So I was just so fortunate to be a part of it.
Yeah. Yeah, man. You know, as great as these songs are, like you guys performing them live, like was a real treat. And like I said, we've from Del Mar Hall, and you guys were also a part of a show I put together for Toys for Tots. We called Riffs for Gifts, and that was just another fun night, especially doing it all for a good cause. And
oh yeah,
getting to eat a bunch of jambalaya from in the yeah. green room and stuff. And
no, I did not eat that, Shane.
I did.
I couldn't.
It was awesome.
I'd go up on stage and throw up. Jumping around, acting like an idiot, and then throwing up.
But yeah, man. So like, it was a lot of fun following that group around for, you know, several years there. And
my boys in Outrun the Fall.
Yeah, that was a man. Yeah,
they were killer dudes, man. Yeah, those are my boys.
Yeah, I love those guys too. I've been with that group long before they were Outrun the Fall. Original guitarist and their bass player I went to school with, Todd Pittman, and is now still in the group. And I've known that guy since elementary and shit. So like we go way back. So,
and we were talking before this podcast how I was talking to Ryan today, and I don't want to spoil anything, but I'm going to be in one of those Fat Tuesday videos. Right. I'm telling you, mark my words.
Yeah,
Ryan's my boy.
Ryan is a lot of fun. So a big shout out to the boys in Outrun the Fall.
There's great music all around St. Louis, man. I mean, Outrun the Fall and Common Jones, and I mean, all these cats are just, they're just great at what they do. And, you know, that's what we love about this market is, you know, bands like Brook Royal and Cavo and Discrepancies, they're great at what they do, mm-hmm. right? I mean, there's the Greek Fires and the Common Jones and the Story of the Years and the, you know, Bleach and like all these bands that are just, they're just stone cold killers in their own right, you know? So to get to walk up and be on a stage and share a stage with some of those guys, man, it's I'm the luckiest guy alive.
Yeah, man. For sure. Well, you've been busy working on some new stuff. That's why we're here today. But it's cool to hear like some of your backstory. Obviously, that was an abbreviated version of all of it, but it was cool to hear where you've been and where you're going now. And that's what I love about doing this show too, and kind of helping talk about the new stuff. And you were working on a new project called Fire the Humans. Mm-hmm. Just released the brand new debut single, yep. Vanish. I want to get in this song, man. I listen to probably easily 10 times a day, and it's a lot of fun, super catchy, and just feels good, makes you want to wiggle. Thanks, let's talk about this particular track, man.
Yeah. So Fire the Humans kind of came about pretty sudden. You know, the Poor was in the studio. COVID had really just like karate chopped us. You know, the time in the studio, the waiting, the writing, was everything was just kind of put on hold. We were working on some really cool stuff, stuff that we were really proud of. Some of the music that was being written was incredible. I don't know how much you know about In the Midst of Lions and how I would basically travel around to write the lyrics around specific situations. I started to do that on the second record too. Like I went to Chris Cornell's room where he hung himself.
Oh, wow.
You know, just kind of soak up some of the energy in there. And then I stayed in the hotel room right across the hall from it. So I would, you know, to be standing where Chris Cornell died and start working on a song.
It's heavy.
It is heavy. Yeah. It's so there was a lot of cool stuff we were putting into it. It was called I'm So Tired, and it was the last thing that he was saying to his wife before he took his life is, I'm just so tired. So we had some really cool stuff going on. We started recording this song called Dinero, and as it progressed, and it's just an absolute badass song. I just felt this calling that I needed to go do some solo stuff. The guys in the Poor support me wholeheartedly. Which I really appreciated. Steve DeClue, which you couldn't find a sweeter guy, was just like, dude, I get it. Go do your stuff.
Right.
Brian was the same way. He said, I love you. Go do your stuff. I know it'll be badass. Jack, of course, was as sweet as could be. And Benny texted me today that it's incredible. You know, so I love those guys. But Fire the Humans, literally, I made a decision December 31st and said, tomorrow is a brand new year. It's a brand new decade. I'm going to start a brand new project, a brand new sound, and continue to grow and stretch. And all the weight will be on my shoulders. So if it sucks, they can blame me. Mm-hmm. If it's cool, let's dance. Let's celebrate it. But December 31st, 2020, I said, I'm done. Not in a bad way, but I'm ready to stretch and grow, and I want to work on some solo stuff. The guys were lovingly supportive. January 1st, I woke up and reached out to my producer friend, John Donosky, who was the original guitar player in The Poor. He's won like 3 Grammys or something like that. And I said, look, this is what I'm looking to do. This is the sound I want to have. I sent him a bunch of examples. I've got a bunch of melodies, bunch of words, and I want to get in the studio and start working on some stuff. And I wanted to come out March 26th, which is today. He said, okay, all right. You want to do a single? What are you wanting to do? I said, I want one single each quarter this year. Okay, let's do it. So got in the studio, walked in, and I said, I want it to be this tempo. He said, okay. Starts building it. What do you want for melodies? I've got a verse. I've got a pre-chorus. I got a chorus. We start bouncing ideas off of each other. He's like, I love that. Take that and drop it down. So when you first hear the song, it used to sound higher on the verses, where I would go, I don't need to be rich. And he would go, I like it, but I don't love it. Let's try it a little bit more like Billie Eilish. Let's make it dark and sexy. And I said, okay, let's try it. We tried it, and we both looked at each other and said, that's it. So then we start building the words. I start writing the words, and I start building it around scenarios that I've been in, or you've been in, or most guys have been in, where as a young lad, you find a girl that you're like, wow, she's pretty cool. I'd like to hang out with her. But she likes the attention of you giving her the I want to be with you. But she's already got a man. She doesn't need you. She likes the attention, but you're only wasting your time. And I loved that premise. And so I wrote it, basically saying, the harder that I try, the further away you walk and you vanish. You know, just as quick as a miracle happens, it dissipates. And I liked that premise.
Yeah, man.
And I love melodies, and everything is melody driven. The Poor was all about melodies. Everything was Brian. I can hear him saying it in my ear right now. If it doesn't have a catchy melody, on to the next.
Right.
And so it was just built from there.
I don't need to be rich. All I needed was to know that you're gonna be mine. You can sound like a bitch, but honey, tell me now if I'm just wasting my time. 'Cause I don't wanna be the one that you're asking to leave. And every now and again I wear my heart on my sleeve.
And here we are, March 26th, and Vanish is out.
Yeah, man. This, I do like that you, you know, maybe you didn't do the whole song like you're saying, but you did work in a way to bring in that falsetto a little bit and stuff like so that, which is one of my favorite like hooks of this, where in that song where it comes around, because like I don't even know exactly what you're saying, like, but yeah. it's so fun. Like, and
too good to be loved by me.
Yeah, there it is. But I was like, I sent, speaking of Ryan earlier, my brain especially as I'm listening, like I just start making up stuff sometimes. Like I feel like if I really like maybe harnessed it, not that I could ever be Weird Al level, but I could definitely start writing some parodies and
yeah.
But they're always around food, which
what
is.
Tell me what you came up with.
So I sent it to Ryan and I even sang it. So here, I'll play it for you.
God, I got to hear this. Just for those that are listening, I'm saying "Too Good to Be Loved by Me." Let's hear what Shane came up with. Because I don't enunciate very well. You know that I love pie?
Yeah.
That's gold. I'm taking that. I want you to send that to me.
Yeah. So I was sent that to Ryan on the way over tonight because I was like, that's all, like, obviously I'm listening to your, and it's like, and that's just where my brain goes to.
Yeah.
So
Ryan called me today and said, dude, he picked up the phone, or he said, call me. So I called him. He's like, hey, what's up, dude? I said, nothing, man. What's shaking? And he goes, you know, I was so excited to hear the sophomore record from The Poor, and then you went and vanished like a miracle. And I just started laughing. He goes, I'm sorry I had to do that. Right. I just had to do that.
Yeah. Oh, he loves doing that. Like, that's a, and so he's done it. I see, if, you know, follow him online, and Steve Ewing will say something, and he'll be, you know, always hit him with some Urge lyrics and stuff on there. And
it's, oh, just, yeah. Me and my buddies too.
Yeah. Man. It's, it makes me laugh though. Like, yeah. So
that's my goal this year is, speaking of Steve Ewing, I texted him the other day and said, hey man, I'd like to get you on a track on one of my upcoming songs that I'm going to release this year. Yeah. So
that's the coolest thing about, like, you know, obviously this is you. You can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
You don't have to check with four or five guys to see, what do you guys think of this idea?
Yeah.
You know, so you can literally create with anybody, whatever right. you want to do. Like, hey, Steve, you want to do a song together? Let's do it. And like, so
right.
I think that's very exciting about this project for sure. And, but it's cool to hear, like you're saying, like you have a vision of what you want to do with this, that's, you know, for the four singles for each quarter or whatever it is. And,
right.
So, but yeah, I mean, this one in particular, like Vanish is a lot of fun. And of course you have the video to go with it. You can check that out on YouTube, but,
Mr. JT Ibanez,
yeah,
man, who does,
he's a bad dude too.
Yeah. He's a bad dude, man. He's, and he's a wild man. I showed up to shoot the video and was like, I want this color, I want that color, you know, I'm a control freak. And I said, I want this and this and this and this. And in typical JT style, he had texted me as I'm driving over and he said, hey, can you stop, get me a sandwich, right? So I come walking in with a sandwich for him and I'm telling him I want reds and I want blacks and I want this and I want that. And he's just nodding his head, eating the sandwich that I just bought him. And I go, so what do you have in mind? And he goes, I don't know. No, no, I'm just gonna wing it.
Like mustard on.
Yeah, he's got mayo in his mustache.
Right.
Yeah, so I do love the freedom of that. I do love the fact that I can just get in, record it. If I sign off on it, let's go. And then having amazing people around like JT that can shoot a killer video, or guys like you that can get out and say, hey man, check out this song.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, you know, if people don't dig it, it goes away and I'm on to the next.
Right.
So I'm already working on the second and third songs right now. I've got some melodies and some things and I'm hoping that it's only going to get cooler.
Yeah, man. I'm excited. Like I said, I love what this one already, and I'm excited to keep, you know, I'm a fan, so that's,
I appreciate that.
Yeah, man.
Well, I know that the people that loved The Poor had a very unique sound, a very different, as much as it was rock but melodic, this is a very different sound. So a lot of people, it took them off guard.
Mm-hmm.
Even just that little snippet clip that I would send to a couple of friends, I had people that text me back and they're like, dude, great job, or dude, that's a ballsy move. What are you doing?
Right.
Like, St. Louis is a lot of rock guys. All your friends are rock bands.
Yeah. This definitely feels a lot more pop. You know, definitely got a little bit more of a dance groove in there.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I've never been one of the, like, I'm sure there's some of it on the show, obviously, but if it's good music, it's good. It doesn't matter. That's how I feel. Yeah. Like, you don't need to, does it, everybody wants to put, like, what is this, rock? Is this pop? Is it, what, you know, is it rock pop? Whatever,
right.
You know, so.
Right. It can just be. I like the wheelhouse of, the Weeknd,
mm-hmm.
the Justin Timberlake, Justin Bieber. And then obviously I'm a Prince fan, right? I mean, I think you probably heard that in the past or through a rumor or something, but I'm a huge Prince fan. So, it just became about a good song is a good song, right? If it makes you go, man, that's a catchy hook or a catchy melody, or I like that voice or I like that beat or whatever the case is. All of my rock friends have given two thumbs up. So that made me feel really good that all of them were like, even though they might not go and write something or play something like this, they also did. I love the sound. It's a killer sound. Yeah. So thankful for, you know, everyone to be so nice.
Yeah.
You
know? Well, hopefully we'll get it all over the radio and everything soon. And keep calling and telling them to play it or put it all over your Spotify playlist or whatever you got to do. And but tell a friend, because this is... It's like I said, it deserves to be heard, man. It's a lot of fun, and it's I feel like even that, like, while I'm like listening to it on repeat on the drive over, like I'm like thinking about like
pie.
Well, pie, yeah, but I mean, always.
You know that I love pie. Yeah. You know that I love pie.
But like I started like even like moving, I'm like, man, there's like there could be easily the dance to it or whatever, you know, yeah. Something like that. Like I could see. Obviously the video you guys shot is great, but like I could imagine like some kind of choreography in there, you know, some dancing and stuff.
It was a conversation, yeah.
Right. So, yeah. And then I imagine, you know, what that evolves into, you know, someday we get to the live show and then everybody's doing, you know, the dance to it or whatever, yeah. Kind of thing. So, yeah. But yeah, especially that one, that rhythm, and I feel like I started like even thinking like of the Michael Jackson, where he's got that hand whip, yeah. Like kind of going off his hip like
it's
that.
It's got a very beat it kind, right. Of a beat.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I don't know. Like I talk about it a lot. Like I hear things. I think if I were to evolve it, like I don't know anything about chords or, you know, whatever, or, you know, I'm a fan. Hey, that sounds good. I like that. But people will play a song and I'm like, I can immediately start like, oh, that's like the same as this song or whatever. I'll start. So I know like similar chords or similar beats or whatever, different things, whatever it is. Like, and I can't even articulate how it is, but I can hear things. And
I don't
like,
either,
but I can,
I don't know chords. I don't know anything like that. I come up with it in my head and put it out and say, what about this?
Yeah. So, but I was like, that's kind of where my mind went. Like, it was just like a very kind of a similar, you know, beat to it or whatever. So, but I mean, it worked out well for that guy. So he, you know,
he did okay.
Yeah,
he did okay.
Right.
And I didn't want it under my name of Jeffrey Lee or Jeff Lee or anything like that. I wanted it to just be similar to The Weeknd or Chainsmokers, sure. Or something along those lines, where it's essentially just neutral, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a man. It's not a woman. It's not black. It's not white. It's not tall. It's not short, fat, skinny. It's just Fire the Humans was
definitely
just
against humans, though.
Yeah. So it's legitimately, you know, the idea came about in my head was just for the simple fact that we're doing it wrong, yeah. As humans, no, right? I mean, yeah. you look at all the racial injustice, you look at all of the global pandemic, you look at all the equality issues, you look at just, you know, water and violence and oceans and all these things, and we're just doing a really crappy job, you know, and it's almost like the perspective of if somebody were to come here to Earth and say, you're fired,
yeah, right.
They fire the humans, you're not doing it right.
Yeah. Pack it up, everybody.
Yeah. Take a hike. Yeah.
Yeah. There's one of my favorites, Lucas Nelson in The Promise of the Real. He's got a great song called, Turn Off the News and Grow a Garden with Me. And like, and that's, I mean, that's perfect. It was like, the news is like, that's, I feel, I mean, they're not the only ones, but that's a lot of where it pushes everybody against each other and stuff. Yeah. It's always, left, right, black, white, whatever, you know, it's like, and it's just like,
silly,
we're,
man.
We're all people. We're all the same. Like, yeah.
And I totally agree with that. Yeah. Like in my house, when I say it's colorblind, like, I mean, it's about like, just be human, man. Just be human. Just be a normal human. Treat everybody normal. Right. You know, it's like, I don't give a shit what anybody's gender is or color is or size or, I mean, it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant, you know, like, be the best version of you every day.
Yeah.
You know,
for sure, man. Yeah, I thought that was an interesting. It's cool. I'm glad you explained all that, because I mean, you see the name, and I was like, it's interesting where that came from and stuff. But it works, man. It's different. I mean, it's not like, you know, it's not like it sounds like a lot of other band names or something like that. So I started like, you know, like looking at like how many similarities of, you know, like the different bands and stuff. Like there was even a joke. Even locally, we had like Inimical Drive and Final Drive, and then like they did a show together one time, and like we changed all the bands on the poster to Drives. Everybody had Drive, yeah. And stuff like, so things like that. Like, you know, there's probably somebody's gonna find something similar, but you know, sure. But again, it's like, how many, it's hard to come up with.
There's 10,000 bands, yeah, right, with fire in it, right. I assure you.
But it stands out for sure, and it works, man. So I'm cool. It's cool to hear. What inspired the idea and things, yeah. But what were, was there a couple other on the list that didn't make the cut?
No, I really went right for Fire of the Humans. Just kind of, I also felt like I just knew I didn't want it under my name.
Right.
Cause I thought it was irrelevant. And I also thought, if you write a good enough song, nobody gives a shit what the name is.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true, man. I think, people, and I remember, you know, obviously now they're mega huge, but Florida Georgia Line came out. I remember they played the pageant with Brantley Gilbert in when they walked out on stage and they said, you know, Florida Georgia Line, everybody's like, what the hell they just say? Because it sounds like just a mouthful of marbles, right. You know, because it just doesn't run together really nice. But now, of course, now that you've heard it.
You don't hear the name.
Yeah. Now that you've heard it, everybody knows it. But
look at Foo Fighters, right? I mean, if I walked into a room full of people and said the name of our band's going to be Foo Fighters, yeah. I can assure you 9 people would stand up and go, I don't think that's a good idea. So the songs make that all go away.
Yeah, Dave said that too. Like, if I knew I was going to have to keep calling myself Foo Fighters all these years later, I would have thought of a better band name.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah,
but that's the moral of his story too, right. Is like, it just takes good songs and nobody cares what your name is.
Yeah. But yeah, it works, man. But yeah, check out Fire of the Humans on, again, the video on YouTube. You can subscribe there and also follow along on wherever you're getting your digital music at. Like Jeff said, you know, there's no social media platform. So
on purpose.
Yeah, on purpose, which is, I think it's, you know, you've talked before we clicked record about this and how there's been a couple of people putting up question marks like, well, you know, like, you're an artist, you should be having this platform to share your music, and you're like, no.
Yeah, I literally choose the privacy aspect, and I know it's oxymoronic when you're trying to promote music or trying to promote a project without a platform as popular as Instagram or even as watered down as Facebook and such. But I truly feel that I want to crack the code as far as writing a good enough song where people seek it out on platforms like, you know, Spotify, iTunes, Apple Music, or even YouTube. And if it doesn't happen, it doesn't. And I know that the odds are against me, but at the end of the day, I don't care to promote me as I am about writing a good song. And that's my mission. Even though it is going to, I've gotten numerous texts of what's wrong with you. Why would you do that? That's so stupid. You got to market your band. You got to market your music, etc. But I want to figure it out. I want to figure out a way to crack that code.
Yeah. I mean, obviously we said something too along the lines, it's been done before, you know, long before the internet, people still got their way to figure out a way to get their music out to the masses. I mean,
it's true.
You know, I don't think you know, was no Led Zeppelin on Instagram or, you know, whatever, nope. You know, it's like, so it's definitely can be done. And it's just a matter of, I think it's almost like, I really find it cool because like, again, like you're saying, if the music's right, it'll speak for itself and people right. will be like, you got to come out to the exactly. show. You got to see this show. You got to hear this song or whatever it is.
That's my goal. And I not because of the pair of shoes that I'm wearing right. in an Instagram post.
Sure.
I want it solely around music. And then I also don't want to bastardize the Instagram, Facebook, trying to shove it down your throat. Now I'm going to do my own version of shove it down your throat, like texting people that I know and say, hey, will you check this out and spread the word? But I feel like if I do a good enough job of writing a great song mm-hmm. that they'll want to share it and want to be a part of it.
Yeah, man. Yeah. And something came up the other day online and a buddy of mine is doing a podcast now and somebody, I think he asked for reviews, like, just, you know, hey, if you can give me a rating and review and stuff, it, you know, means a lot, especially in podcasting form. I mean, it's the same thing with music too, but the way the algorithms work, you know, it kicks up to be recommended to other people and mm-hmm. stuff like that. And so it was a simple request. In every podcast, you always hear the, you know, host like, hey, if you could leave us a 5-star review and a comment or whatever. But he said that somebody like sent him a message that it was really tacky and that they didn't want to, they unfollowed it. And I was like, and it was just like simple thing. Like if you are, especially if you're a friend and you believe in this product, why wouldn't you want to tell the world correct. About it? You know, it's like,
To the point that on a molecular level, I turned off the comments on YouTube.
Right.
Right. Meaning,
which is always, I mean, always the worst thing anyway.
and yeah. again, it's on purpose, right? Right. The whole point of that is that if you're using your brain to not listen to the song, but to think of what you want to type in there, good or bad, it's not about the music at that point. It's about your opinion.
Right.
And I don't want the song to be watered down by people's opinions. If you like the song, you'll listen to the song. If you like the song, you'll share the song. If you don't like the song, turn it off. Mm-hmm. I don't need the opinion. Right. I don't want the comment. Whether you love it, you loving it, I'll be rewarded by you listening to it.
Mm-hmm. It goes back to also, it makes me think of one of my favorite movie quotes of all time is and from Private Parts with Howard Stern,
of course.
And when they're like going on like how the average Stern fan listens you know 3 hours a day or whatever, something like that, and like the most common answer is they want to hear what he's going to say next.
Right.
And
then exactly
the average Stern hater listens 3.5 hours, you know, and like because they want to hear what he's going to say
exactly
next. And like so it makes me laugh too, like to think about like even though they hate you, they still still keep listening
exactly so, yeah. And I know I'm pissing people off by not doing social media and I know I'm pissing people off and it will piss people off that they can't put a comment in or something like that.
Yeah.
But look, if I write a good song, they'll listen.
Yeah.
If I don't write a good song, turn it off.
Right.
Listen to something else. Or as I tell other people, go do it better than I do it.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. There it is. Yeah, man. Well, hopefully, we'll get some more, new stuff here in the next, coming months and stuff, which, like I said, I'm pumped to hear what else you got cooking up in the studio.
Right on.
Is that something you're going to stay continuing working with the same producer, or you opened up to other ideas too? And
yeah, I mean, obviously, from an artistic standpoint, I'm open to, you know, anything creative. Anything creative, even down to, you know, guys that I've played music with for many years or musicians that I know. I mean, I would write with them, record with them, do things like that. But as far as Fire the Humans goes, and I'm so happy with Vanish sure. and how it turned out that I'm going to continue to push this.
Right. And this is like anything else can stay in a similar vein, you think? Like, I mean,
I don't know. I'm going to try and paint outside the lines
sure.
and kind of swim upstream and do some different things, but it's going to have sonically, I'm going to shoot for that same target, mm-hmm. if that makes sense. Some songs will be faster, slower, right. darker.
Absolutely.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah, man. What about the live show once, you know, things start coming back? Is that something that you would be interested in? Or is this going to be a live project also?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the goal is obviously once I get enough songs out there floating around that I can maybe try to assemble some type of a project. But again, I, you know, from an artistic standpoint, I want it done very differently than anything that I've ever done. Not anything that I support or believe in, you know, with these other bands or other independent artists and whatnot. Just from a personal standpoint, I want to do things, push myself outside of boundaries. Just from a live show perspective. Now, obviously there's boundaries and budgets that are involved to make those things happen. But, if the sound works and I can make a live show out of it, I'd definitely be down for that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. Like I said, that's one of my favorite things about when you were with the Pores. Like you guys definitely were a lot of fun to watch, including, like you said, that Del Mar Hall show where you were like, you know, left the stage and you're in the middle of the room and you're singing around everybody and stuff, like things like that. Like it's a performance, you know, it's not right. just you singing a song or whatever. It's, you know, the whole stage show. So, but yeah, no, I love that stuff, man. And like, so be fun to see what ideas come out through this project and stuff too. So
I appreciate the support, man. It means a lot.
Well, I've been going around asking some silly questions and having a lot of fun with these. And so I want to get your take on some of these, Jeff.
All right. I'm gonna take a swig of my non-alcoholic beer and let's do it.
What about, what's a song that always gets stuck in your head? Or maybe most recently stuck in your head?
A song that I can always pull up quick is Otis Redding's Change Is Gonna Come.
Oh yeah.
That's what I usually do my vocal warm-ups to in the studio. But that song, melodically, it is one of the most beautiful melodies.
My buddy, Andrew Frank, he was here in St. Louis doing comedy for a long time. And he had a joke, about, one of our unhoused individuals, and he was saying something about that, you know, doing that, like is singing that song. He's like, "Is that change gonna come?" And like putting out his hand and stuff, and like, and so I thought that was it was really well done the way he did it. But you know, just
it was all delivered well.
Yeah, just the way he was able to sing it, like he actually can sing it. So like, but it was just a really clever kind of take on it. Like instead of
that's funny.
Yeah, and I'm sure if that's a true story at all, that guy probably made a lot of money doing that.
I would imagine so,
because. Because that's a lot more effective than, you know, just sticking your hand out. So, but sing if you can sing some of that too.
Yeah, it's just that's a melody that always gets stuck in my head. Yeah. I can bring it up pretty quick.
Yeah, man. That so we mentioned Foo Fighters. They were recently on Stern Show, mm-hmm. and Dave was telling a story, which kind of triggered this question. Tell a story about hanging with Paul McCartney and Taylor Swift at Paul McCartney's house and all the state party.
I remember that story.
It was, I mean, like I was just like, man, what a party that would have been, and like just a
Taylor singing, someone getting the best of you.
Yeah, and yeah. He said he was. He said we maybe smoked a smidge of marijuana, and he said he didn't even recognize the song. And then anyway, but it got me thinking. What would be? And this is hypothetically past or present, what would be a dream dinner for you? Like who would you like to invite over, some of your guests of the night, to have a sit down and have a conversation and a dinner with some people?
Oh man, you know, I would like to sit down and chat with Lenny Kravitz. I think that would be kind of fun to sit down and kind of pick his brain. He seems very spiritually free, and I really respect his artistic creativity. Man, there's so many, right? I mean, obviously Paul McCartney would be an incredible one. Being a huge Prince fan, I would have loved to have sat down with Prince. You know, I always tell people that I've been to his house a few times. I've peed in his bathroom. And I remember peeing in his house and literally saying, like, I can say that I've peed at Prince's house for the rest of my life. You know,
this is going to make a great story on a podcast someday.
Exactly. Yeah. One of these days, I'm going to be on Rock Paper Podcast telling people how I took a piss at Prince's house.
Yeah. I think Dan Marcella of Story of the Year has got the Story of the Year gold record in his bathroom or something like that. And like, so anybody goes over there gets to like, take a leak or sit or shit next to his gold record. And I'm like, I just find it hilarious that he put it in the bathroom. Like, it is, you're something to look it's at.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Like, yeah. So, yeah.
It's brilliant.
But,
that's so damn too.
Yeah. Right. So anyway, just, pretty silly. But yeah, man, yeah, that would be a good one for sure. That'd be a fun dinner to get to hang with those guys.
Oh yeah.
All right, so the time comes, we have a Fire the Humans biopic. Who would you like to see cast as Jeff in the movie?
Probably Pee-wee Herman. I wouldn't even know. Yeah. I wouldn't even know. You'd have to find somebody that's not all there, that's...
can rock a pair of skinny jeans.
They can rock white spandex shorts, a half shirt. No, I don't know. Right. I mean, somebody that's just, they would have to be not all there.
Yeah.
Not all there at all.
Yeah. Well,
I'm going to say Jack Weesey. Jack Weesey can do an imitation of me.
The role he was born to play. I love that guy. Jackie's
my boy.
He's a lot of fun.
I literally texted him today and told him I loved him. He's like, I love you too, buddy.
Yeah. Man, that's like, if you learn anything in the show, that's one right there. Like, tell your friends you love them. Like, don't have to be macho guy stuff or whatever.
All day.
I text all my buddies I love them every time. I'm like.
I texted Brian today too. I said, I love you, B. He said, I love you. He's in back ditto.
Right. Yeah. he's probably, you know, in the gym or something. He'd probably be quick about it.
He's doing crunches.
Yeah.
He's doing curls. He's working on his glutes.
Yep.
He's got a shake weight.
is there a movie or a TV show you wish you were in? Like, is there a certain, world that, you would like to be a part of?
Oh, mafia movies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm a stupid, huge Irishman fan, Goodfellas fan, Casino, Godfather. I mean, anything mob related. Yeah.
So if you had your choice in an alternate life, that would be it.
Being
the mafia.
Yeah. Yeah. I've always been fascinated. You know, growing up, I would read every book I could ever read on mafia, even down to this book called like Hollywood Gangster or something like that, which is one of the guys that played in The Godfather, who was actually a real gangster, yada yada yada.
Sure.
But I love the mafia stuff.
Yeah. I have a poster on my wall that anybody that's been following along with the show on my Zoom recordings, you'll see it and all, but it's a picture of Joe Pesci as Tommy.
There you go, yeah, Shane.
It's a classic, man.
We're cut from the same cloth, yeah, buddy.
All right. So, and I also have on the other wall, I have blanking on they're both their characters' names, Jules and John Travolta and Sam Jackson in Pulp Fiction.
Oh, yeah.
Both of them with their pistols out and stuff. Yeah.
Classic.
So
Royale with cheese.
Yeah, there you go, man. Oh, shit. I shot Marvin in the face. man, what is.
I can't think of their names.
I can't think of what Travolta's name is in that. But anyway, somebody's gonna
make a comment.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. You idiots.
Yeah.
Classic my ass.
Right. That's what I mean. I'm terrible about that. Like, I'll go make a quote or reference or whatever, and that's when I'll. But you know, in the middle of the night,
he'll text me 2 a.m. Right. He'd be like,
"Yeah, Vincent."
Vincent. Okay. Good call.
Yep.
Dug it up. See? Yep. No comment. Right. Delete your comment.
Yeah. Somebody screaming at their, you know, phone right now.
You idiot.
Yeah. What's a dream duet or collaboration? And I feel like maybe this could be partly to do with that dream dinner too, but is there a certain person that you would love to sing with or maybe just get in the studio with? Or?
Oh, man. So many.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's so many. I mean, I'm talking from, you know, like people that I want to go to dinner with are different than I would probably sound good with because they're pretty good, right? They don't need my help coming in.
All right.
You know, islands in the stream, that is where we are. I don't know. I mean, there's just so many. I'm hoping to do some collaborations with some local artists. Yeah. that I have a lot of respect for that, you know, some of them I grew up watching or, you know, guy said, I would love to be a part of a project with.
You know what? I mean, it's different, but I think it would be, I don't think it's all that different though, but I think it would be super cool is, have you been following, the new, Bruno Mars and Anderson Paak, that
Anderson
song?
Anderson Paak is, he just absolutely killed it with, what's that song about the weed? I'll think of the name too, but it's just, it is one of the funkiest, coolest.
Yeah.
In fact, Jack sent it to me and goes, how in the world have I overlooked this guy? Right. And I could not stop playing it. I sent it to 10 guys and were like, this guy figured it out.
Yeah.
I love funk.
Well, they just did like a super sexy, slow jammy kind of, I was like, I mean.
And it's Bruno, right? Yeah. I mean, literally, when I first heard Bruno come out, I thought it was Frank from Shevegas.
Yeah.
That's how similar their voices are. I literally thought it was Frankie.
All right. Yeah. I mean, now I can see that. Like, there's definitely some similarities in style and stuff. And
yep.
But I was just like, but anyway, I was just like, man, that could be cool. Like, as they, you know. Bruno's all over. I mean, everything he does is different though. Like, but you can, it's always got his stamp on it, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
You know he's involved in it, but he's a great producer and singer, of course.
He kills
and,
it, man.
But man, that would be a fun collaboration for sure.
Sure, yeah.
So
those cats sing so great though. Yeah. I don't know if they need me on there, buddy.
Let's see. I also think like too, the fact that you sang and of course you can get the different stuff you do with your voice, but I think it would be a nice mix of that also would be somebody that get somebody to do a rap verse or something, do like something like that, a nice like difference in there. Yeah. And stuff in voices and things. So
I love that you bring that up, because I texted Antonio from Discrepancies. Right. And I said, look, you've been warned. I'm coming at you this year.
Right.
Until you sing on a track. And he sent back, LOL, I already started ripping through songs that I could put you on.
Yeah, man.
Because I'm a big fan of his. I think he's got an incredible talent.
For sure. Yeah. I'm a huge fan of his also. Yep. One of my, I mean, not just locally, but favorite rappers ever. Like he's a, the lyrics. I mean, I love that he can do the stuff with Discrepancies and get you fired up to want to party. But then also in the next, lyric, he can pull your heart out and, make, you know, like I don't even have kids, but he listened to the stuff he sings about his son. And I'm like,
absolutely.
It gets me every time. And,
so it's coming.
Right.
Mark my words. You can ask him. ATG.
There it is.
I already told him. I said, you've been warned. He said, LOL.
It's officially on the record right now.
That's right. Antonio, I'm coming, buddy.
Yeah. You're singing some Dolly Parton there and stuff. Do you do any celebrity impressions? Is there any, do you do any like singing impressions or anything?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know if I do any impressions. I mean, it's a great question. Yeah. You could probably ask friends of mine if I do, but sure. They'll probably just say no.
Right.
He's an idiot. He doesn't need to do an impression.
Yeah. What about, you know, obviously being a songwriter yourself and a fan of lyrics and things, what is a song you wish you wrote?
Purple Rain.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a pretty good one.
When you come right out of the gates and your first line is, I never meant to cause you any sorrow.
Right.
You win. Checkmate.
Yeah.
Done. You said it all right there. I also think that, Who's the Harry Styles? Sure. He's got a couple of great lines.
Yeah.
I'm in my bed and you're not here, and there's no one to blame but the drink in my wandering hands. Great line, right? There's no one to blame but the drink in my wandering hands. Like, yeah. I love stuff like that.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's, you know, I'm glad he's like emerged from the boy band thing, you know, like he obviously was very talented with the group and everything, but, right. But like,
if you haven't seen Sledgehammer on Howard Stern,
so good, man. Yeah. It's
ridiculous.
Man. And that band is killer with him too. And like, yeah, but that's a fun take on that song. And
ridiculous.
Yeah.
I actually reached out to that studio in England and asked them how much it would cost if I went over and flew over to England and recorded there because of that.
Yeah.
Because of that version. Yeah. At Peter Gabriel Studio.
Did they give you a number?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. I didn't record there, Shane. I didn't record there. COVID.
Yeah.
Right. No, yeah, they emailed me back and said, yeah, Jeff, here's some prices, yada, yada, yada.
Right. Yeah, I can't imagine what that might be, but...
It's not cheap.
Yeah, do some... Had to sell some cookies or pizzas and stuff.
Well, I mean, even from a logistics standpoint of getting there, sure. Right? Oh, yeah. I'd be 5 to 10 G's into just getting there.
Yeah, right.
Right? Yep. And to record a song and yada, yada, yada. So yeah. If I can throw $20,000 at a single, there you go.
Next one for sure.
I'm going to I'll be at Sledgehammer Studios or whatever it's called.
I often joke that if I were a stripper, that would be my song.
Sledgehammer? That's great. folks, if you could see what he's wearing, it would make a lot more sense.
Yeah. All right.
He's sitting here in a G-string.
Hit the jukebox.
He's got the breakaway pants on.
Oh, man. Well, Jeff, this has been super. I figured we probably said it all now if we're talking about me in a G-string. So that's.
Yeah, we've come full circle. He's buttoning his shirt up right now.
Yep. But it's been a ton of fun, man. I'm really, really glad we made this work because, like I said, this is, it's been already a couple of years since we've been in the same room together, it feels like. So it's been, obviously, we lost a whole year with COVID and stuff. So that was a big part of it, but it's nice to get to catch up with you and see your face and get to talk about some new tunes and stuff. So
ditto, my brother.
But I'm really proud of you, man. And I can't wait to hear what else is, but I think it's super cool that you're doing this and just making it a lot of people, I think, not that you couldn't do it with the band, but I think people maybe if they have those ideas and they're maybe afraid to do it because it's by themselves, stepping away from the band. Some people need that support, sure. Those guys are, you did great with them, but we will again. And, but it's nice to hey, I just want to try this and see what I can do. And,
right.
And it's cool to take a chance on yourself to chase that dream, man. So
I appreciate
you doing it, man.
And keep doing what you do, man. Rock Paper Podcast is growing. It's a badass setup.
Thanks, dude.
You're doing some incredible thing. You do incredible work and your reputation, man. I'm telling you, everybody loves you. Everybody thinks the world of you, Shane. We really appreciate it, buddy.
Well, thank you, Jeff. Appreciate that, man. Yeah. Well, that's it. Again, find Vanish all over digital music and keep spinning it and tell a friend. So
that's right.
Well, thanks, buddy.
Fire the humans.
Yeah. Bye, everyone.
See ya.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Rock Paper Podcast.
Well, yeah, that was it.